Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, happy 2021 to everyone. This is Stu. Mike is out again. Just to give you an update, last week after the show, I got a text from Michael that said he had gone to the doctor and had tested positive for COVID-19. This week, he's been fighting it, and it got very rough and a little touch and go, but the folks at Spring Hill Medical Center, the same people that saved me, have taken care of him. I was chatting with him this morning. He's ready to get out of the hospital and get back to life, but they're going to keep him a couple more days just to make sure everything is clear. But, Mike, buddy, you whooped it. Just come on back to us, man. And we're going to talk at the bottom of the hour with another one, another prominent person locally who has just dealt with COVID-19, that's Chef Garrick Ogburn. And he'll tell us some of his stories with it. And more importantly, he's going to be helping those of you who've made the New Year's resolution to eat better and live healthier. Well, that's what Garrick does down at Nourish Cafe inside the YMCA's. He specializes in food that's good for you and tastes delicious. In fact, Heather and I went and had dinner at their house a couple of weeks ago for the office Christmas party. And, man, I'm telling you, those langoustine Peruvian tamales he made for dinner. Just incredible. The tamale wasn't just corn either. He put a little white sweet potato in it.
Oh, really?
It was very nice. And white sweet potato is not as sweet as the pinker kind. It's closer to more potato. Yeah. And it made just a fantastic texture on the tamale.
Nice.
And for people that don't understand the difference between Peruvian tamales and the other tamales from Central and South America is you make the tamale, you steam the corn, masa, and everything, and you put everything else on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of inside the tamale, like what we're used to from Delta tamales and Mexican tamales, stuff like that. And it makes for a pretty presentation. It's a lot less work.
Yeah, I bet.
and it was absolutely delicious. So we'll be talking to Garrick at the bottom of the hour. And who knows, maybe Mike will get in on the chat line and kind of hit us up. We'll know. But most importantly, Mike, just, you know, rest up, like they said. He's on liquid diet now. Which, you know, he's been in most of his adult life. but this time it's like orange juice and broth and stuff.
Without the vodka.
Right. Without vodka, without the broth. But we had a wonderful New Year's this year. We had a, you know, Heather and I were standing outside night before last, I guess it was New Year's Eve, just marveling at the stars and our Christmas lights. We were in, you know, it's about time to pull them down. So it was one last night. Let's step out there. We've got nothing but lasers. I don't understand people that still hang the old-fashioned stringy models. I mean, God bless you if that's what you like and enjoy it.
Right.
But I will never hang another string light. It makes no sense to me. They don't come anywhere near the beauty of what these lasers can do. Our trees look like there are millions of fireflies in them.
Nice.
You can't do that with Christmas lights. Not without spending hundreds of dollars in several days putting them up there. I walked out there in 5 minutes. I had a Christmas lights done.
Yeah.
And we just loved it. So we're standing out there and we're enjoying it. We're looking at the stars and I look at her and go, you know, it's been a pretty rough year. I said, but it's been pretty good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we should thank our lucky stars. So we were outside. We did. And just some beautiful stuff. We didn't get to see the convergence this year because we live in Mobile where there's always a cloud in the sky.
Yes.
I have a good yard for sky gazing at the house, and we really enjoyed it. And it was just looking up and thinking about that, you know. All in all, it's been a great year for us.
Yes.
You know, not for the planet, but we talked about on last week's show that there are a lot of things that the quarantine has done that's brought us back to a little more sanity. People are planting gardens. Well, people are learning to cook from scratch. Bread is, it's hard to get flour and yeast right now because people are making their own bread. And those of you watching on Facebook Live,
oops,
I'll fix that in just a second. What did you do for New Year's Eve?
We went to some friends home and we celebrated with them. We've been in contact with them a lot, so we didn't have any worries. Right. We've spent a lot of time together watching football games and everything else, but we experimented with some foods and it was good.
Yeah.
We had a ton of food and we sat around and talked, and it was raining, but they have a carport, so mm-hmm. we just sat outside and listened to the gunshots.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the post on Facebook that Midtown Mobile sounded like Beirut.
Yeah.
That was, I was talking earlier about all the fireworks accidents my father saw in his 36 years in law enforcement. That's mm-hmm. why we didn't do fireworks at our house. He also talked about the thousands of lives that are lost every year on New Year's Eve because people shoot a bullet up in the air and forget it's got to come back down.
Right.
And I mean, the numbers are four digits every year
mm-hmm.
of people who are killed by it like that. I had an experience. I worked at Belmont University when I went there. I worked in security. New Year's Eve, I'm out patrolling. I'm not paying attention at the time. I just see a scared little dog running across the empty campus. So I get out to kind of pet him and calm him down. As I stand up, I hear bang.
Mm-hmm.
And all the bangs, and I actually hear and feel the wind of a bullet graze by my ear.
Oh, wow.
And then hit a metal building across the parking lot.
Man.
And I just said, I'm getting back in the truck.
Yeah.
And when I got back in, I looked, and it was midnight. And it was the beginning of all the firefights. So we, someone else's misfortune was our misfortune. We had friends who were going to go to this really great New Year's Eve experience at Firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
One of them got sick and we got the tickets.
Oh.
And he'll be on at the bottom of the hour to talk about it. It was essentially 15 courses, all bites, of good luck food from mm-hmm. around the world.
I saw that. I saw where you posted that.
It was absolutely wonderful. The wine bar, Firehouse Wine Bar, only holds, I don't know, 50 to 60 people, but they limited ticket sales to 25.
Mm-hmm.
There was plenty. In fact, the next closest couple to us was 15 feet away. And everyone was masked, and it was a great time. And we had, I mean, it included the food and the drink.
Mm-hmm.
We had, Heather had two different variations on a mimosa. One with pear sherbet.
Ooh.
And the other one with a cranberry sherbet.
I didn't know they made cranberry sherbet.
Well, somebody made it. or a cranberry ice cream type thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely terrific. The food was wonderful. The wine and drink were great. And we left out about 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And we were back at the house before midnight. So we rang in New Year's in the privacy of our home. We did our toast at about 9 o'clock at the wine bar. And we just had a great event. And we dressed up. We was all purdy looking, too, Leanne.
Nice.
We was purdy. And then yesterday, we had a good friend, Sarah Lassiter, who's been on the show. But, well, not Lassiter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She and her fiancé, James, are now mm-hmm. husband and wife. They got married in a private event yesterday.
Oh.
Just like close family. And then their reception, they called a progressive reception.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a pub crawl in downtown Mobile so that they would go, we're going to be at this bar at this time. A few of you come by. You know, we'll have a few drinks and, you know, we can get our pictures made. And then y'all can go on home and not spend hours at a reception crowded in with people. And then after an hour or so, they'd move on to another place where another group of people would be waiting, you know, small groups. And I thought that was really brilliant. They ended up four or five places and they'd get as drunk as they want because they were staying at the Battle House. They didn't have to drive. They could take the pedicab if they couldn't walk.
So. Yeah.
But we met them at Braided River,
mm-hmm.
and it was just, it's our first time going to Braided River, by the way. We went one other time when actually Garrick was there giving out food, but more on that when we get back. 343-0106, you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike Lestu.
Get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And we are back. This is Mike. No, it's not. This is Stu. Had you fooled, didn't I? Once again, Mike is at home resting, hopefully next week, but if not, 2 weeks from now, he'll be back, and all done with all the foolishness. Well, this will probably be one of the last times we talk a few minutes about college football, but I have ridden the Big 12 really hard this year about how they're not a real conference, and here they go, and they go undefeated in the bowl season, and I just wanted to say, Big 12, I respect what you did. You rallied after some really embarrassing losses at the beginning of the year and did a great job, and that's a credit to those kids and those players. I think it's obvious, looking at the ACC's 0-6 record in postseason, that the committee was hell-bent on putting Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State in the playoffs regardless of who the best teams were. I think they only got one team right, and that's Alabama. But clearly, neither Clemson nor Notre Dame or anyone from their conference deserve to be in the playoffs. And I hate that for teams like Texas A&M and even a two-loss Georgia, who were much, much better contenders for a championship than either of the two ACC teams. But boy, did we eat good this year. I mean, a lot of people were eating at home because they couldn't go to games and they couldn't go to sports bars. And I have watched a lot of great pictures fly across my Facebook and Instagram feed this year of the things people were preparing at home for their football season. And, you know, we've said it many times on this show that football and food are synonymous in the state of Alabama. And that's kind of what draws me to the college football scene more than the high school or than the pro scene, is that atmosphere on game day, especially the food. And so that's why we always talk a little about football on the show. I want to talk about something right now that's come up in my Facebook feed that I am very excited about, and that's why I want to share it with you. One of our favorite restaurants in town, and absolutely Heather's favorite restaurant, is the Cheese Cottage over in St. Louis. And they have something coming up, and Leanna, you're going to want to pay attention to this.
Mm-hmm, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. Every Wednesday night in January.
Yes.
So I'll just read what their post says. Those familiar with Cacio e Pepe, the Roman-inspired pasta and pepper dish, will be delighted with the experience of Cheese Cottage version. Cacio e Pepe is basically fettuccine with black pepper flakes in the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
The sauce is usually very simple, butter and Parmesan cheese.
Right.
And it's a beautiful, perfect dish like that. Their version is a hollowed 82-pound wheel of Pecorino Romano cheese, which is filled with brandy and lit on fire, and a mushroom pasta added to pick up every little melty piece of cheese.
Ooh.
It is quite the show and perfectly splendid.
Mushroom pasta?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yummy.
Yeah, and the only thing that'll cancel that this month is weather, because all their seating is outdoor. But,
right.
But that'll be every Wednesday night, and I'm sure we're going to get down there for at least one of them. But I was just looking at that. If you've never seen the big wheels of Parmesan cheese, and they look like a tire off a tractor,
mm-hmm,
made out of cheese, they'll hollow out the center a little bit, and they'll just pour some alcohol in there and set it on fire. And that will melt the cheese, and the alcohol will burn off, and the mm-hmm liquid will just turn into the most incredible sauce.
Nice. Ooh.
And I'm really looking forward to experiencing that. And in these cool nights, Cheese Cottage is good at doing that. They used to do raclette and still do from time to time, which is, I believe, from Sweden or Swiss or Switzerland. And it's a cheese and it's a meal.
Mm-hmm.
The cheese is called raclette. You burn the cheese basically under a blowtorch or something. As it melts onto whatever you're eating. And that dish is also called raclette. And we have enjoyed it. It's usually like roasted potatoes, and they've done it with Hall sausage in there and onions and peppers. And on a cool night, it is just so good, Leanna.
Yeah.
It's cheesy goodness.
Cheesy, warm, melty, yummy.
Yeah. And so if you get to one Wednesday evening, get down to the Cheese Cottage in January and try that out, because it, like I say, it's worth it just for the spectacle to see 82 pounds of cheese set on fire.
Nice. That would be neat to see.
So we're looking forward to that. Really are. We were talking about where I eat this week, and I want to go back and talk a little more in detail. Plus, there was another place I didn't get to, but the Firehouse Wine Bar, the menu, and you could check it out on the Sip and Chew Instagram page. I think I posted just about everything there. And my personal Facebook page, which is Stuart Donald, you know me. You could take a look at it. I may put something together and put it on the Facebook page so you can see all 15 of the meals we had. Each a bite or two or three or four. They were just absolutely splendid and combinations that you wouldn't really have thought of that went together extremely well. There were a couple of pork dishes because pork is lucky, and just some this one corn fritter is a spicy corn fritter with a tomato bacon jam on top. That was just absolutely terrific. And then the wines they had picked out were perfectly paired. And in honor of my buddy Mike, my first glass was a wine that he introduced to the Mobile market.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have fallen in love with because he walked me through it, and that's a Malbec from Argentina. It's a nice red wine. It's not too dry, but it's bold and fruity, and it's just terrific. And this was a great one, and it was just terrific. I also had a cava for my sparkling, which the easiest way to say it is cava is champagne from Spain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sparkling wine is the correct name. Champagne only refers to, as Mike would say if he were here, to sparkling wines from the Champagne region of France. And if they don't come from the Champagne region of France, it's
not champagne.
Right. But they're sparkling wines. Well, Spain and Italy both do their versions. Italy's called Prosecco. Spain's is called Cava. And the Cava I had was absolutely just remarkable. Mm-hmm. I have learned that I prefer Cava to Champagnes or Proseccos. It's a little crisper and it's usually cheaper.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even better.
Right. It's less expensive for what I believe is every bit as good a quality.
Okay.
And we go with that. And trying to remember the last glass I had, I believe, was a Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
Because Heather wanted to try it. That's her favorite wine. So that was what I ended the evening with. And it actually had a little peatiness to it. And with Michael here, we would talk about this. Like scotch. That little charcoal-y finish that you get off of scotch. This white wine had that. It was really intriguing. And absolutely enjoyed the heck out of it. And then, my notes won't come up because my fingerprint won't read. So, we went to Braided River. And the only thing we ate at Braided River was a bag of chips. Zapp's potato chips. And, but we had, I had their oyster stout.
Ooh.
Really good. Heather tried a sour brown ale that was really good. And then another, sour that she's found that she enjoys sours. And, so she kind of went through the couple of sours. I had my oyster stout. The coolest thing was, because it was Sarah's wedding and her reception was there, one of the people that run it took the wedding group back into the brew room and gave us a private tour and a can of beer each that I believe was their Hoppy by Nature. The can didn't even have a label on it yet, just a silver can.
Yeah.
And we all chugged a beer in honor of Sarah and James inside the brewery. And it was a great little, it was nice.
Right.
You know, Sarah is the purchaser for wine and beverage for the Battle House and the Riverview. Her entire life is this industry. And for her to get to tour a brewery on her wedding reception is probably about as good as it gets for her.
I bet.
The science of it that she enjoys.
Okay.
And so that was really great. But, you know, a bag of chips isn't going to get it done. And I looked at Heather and I said, have you ever been to El Papi?
No.
And she said, no. And I said, She was looking for cocktails. They are cocktail-centric. And I said, it's a really good taco. She has not stopped raving about her carnitas tacos that she got last night. And then she finished the last one. She got two. She was like, why did I only get two? I could eat three or four of these. So we ended up at El Papi last night. I don't think there was another couple within 20 feet of us.
You know? Oh, wow.
I mean, they had plenty of people, but plenty of space. And just had a great time. And you go in, you walk up. Now, this is different. They used to be full sit-down service. Now, you go in, you walk up, you place your order, they give you a thing, you go to your stick, and then they bring you your food.
Oh.
Which, is one of their COVID precautions. And it gave us a good deal of privacy. And I'm telling you, the food was just fantastic. And El Papi's is owned by the same family that owns Chuck's Fish House and Five, I believe, and a couple other things.
That.
Yeah, they're out of Birmingham.
I've enjoyed going there, but I think the last time I went was pre-COVID.
Yeah. The last time I went was pre-COVID, too, because I walked in the door and I was like, I don't know what's going on. There's no host stand or something. We'll go up to this to-go stand and see what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and it's a beautiful restaurant.
Yes.
It really is a beautiful space. And, I mean, we parked right behind it, and so it was a quick walk. So when we come back, we're going to talk with Chef Garrick Ogburn from Nourish Cafe and hear all about his year and what he's got planned.
With a little slice of love. I got no clue what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And this is Stu. We are back in Sip and Chew with Mike LaStu. Mike's finishing up his brush with COVID. I got somebody else coming on here today. It's an old friend of the show. He's been on here a few times. And we usually like to have him on at the beginning of the year for all the folks that are trying to turn a new leaf culinary-wise. So, good morning, Garrick. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone there? So glad to hear your voice. And I bet Mike's listening right now. So, good morning. Happy New Year to you. Good morning to everybody. I'm doing well.
Excellent, buddy. Right? Excellent. Hey, thanks for Friday night. That was a Thursday night. It was a great event, buddy. Well, we really, really enjoyed it, and we even missed you some.
Perhaps maybe next year we could start like the New Year's festivities, you know, at a good hour, like 6 o'clock. This way, you know, this way it'd be nice and get through the whole thing.
Yeah, I had to work. And I was even closing, but I got out as quick as I could. So we got down there a little before 8 or a little after 8, which still wasn't bad.
Ah, fine bedtime.
Yeah, and man, the spicy pork dumplings were just, you really missed something, buddy. But thank you to Allison and you both for that. It we made sure that it didn't go unused.
Yeah, so glad. We love supporting in Firehouse. I mean, I would love to see a lot more events going on there. Mm-hmm. And maybe with the city, we can figure out some other spaces and some other creative ideas. I love that idea about doing the reception tour, and that is great.
Yeah, I thought so, too, that Sarah was right with that. You do soups, don't you, buddy?
I do. We've got one coming up. In fact, for Art Walk, I'm going to be posting a video on a chicken soup. Because in my Nourish Cafe and other things, we're doing a lot more online classes. I'm trying to push up a lot more of those and create more of them. I just did one for New Year's, and it was a lovely little black-eyed pea fritter that I did a private catering event. Mm-hmm. With, and I'm so excited about this technique. It comes from Africa, you know, where the black-eyed peas and all of them came from.
Right,
it was part of that tradition of New Year's. And most black-eyed pea fritters I've had are usually some sort of obligatory patty, some sort of mushed fried patty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have seasoning, some sort of great stuff in it, and it's fantastic. But it's a bean cake. Mm-hmm. And they get a little, you know,
mundane. Firm. Mundane, would you say?
Yeah.
Unexciting. Yeah. So, what have you done to liven it up?
So, out of Africa, what they have is called a kara, I believe, and it goes by a lot of different names. There's other ones, but it is just black-eyed peas. And if you want to get really persnickety, you soak them overnight, and you can crack them open, and you get that little black eye percarp off of the pea, and you end up with just a white pea base, split, looks like white split peas. then put it into a strong blender and blend it up with as little water as possible to give it a nice, smooth texture. You let that little sit. If you don't have the time to let it sit and naturally ferment slightly, an egg white and maybe a little baking soda will help.
Okay.
But salt for flavor. And then you just throw that right into the oil. But it can be done as a vegan one, and I want to get with the lovely people over at Vegan Time to introduce them to this.
Yeah.
But it comes out a super fluffy, and I've done them savory, like a hush puppy.
Right.
And it's just the best hush puppy I've ever had. Not too stodgy, nice and fluffy, great flavor. I used onion instead of water.
Right.
Or you could use onion water.
Right.
And then for a savory one, because it came out so fluffy, I put it into a pastry bag with a star pastry tip and did it in the Spanish churro style. So this was a sweet one.
Yeah, now that's fried the one I up, had, yeah.
Fried it up in a tube, a little bit of cinnamon and sugar on the outside. Incredible.
Yep. Yeah, the texture on it was unbelievable. So the classes that you're doing, where can people see those?
They can find them. We're trying out a couple of different spots. So we're going to do the next one as a sign-up. And most of my classes are on Zoom classes.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing some on the Nourish Cafe Facebook page. But I like doing the classes with Zoom because I can see people.
You can interact?
Yeah. Zoom, the Facebook gets a little delayed and people are typing with hands covered in stuff.
I hope you mean the stuff they're cooking with.
Yeah, exactly.
not like glue or tar.
I don't want my keyboard to smell like onion all day.
So what do you got going on at Nourish Cafe for the new year?
Actually, I have some horrible news right now.
Oh, no.
I've got a bad case of refrigerator malfunction bad luck right now. Just last week, my compressor went out. So I'm going to have to hold off on my openings to get back to my regular menu. But I'm still – that's why I'm doing more classes. So, I've got to get your compressor replaced.
All right. But as far as the things that people can do to eat better for the 2 weeks that they're doing their New Year's resolution, what are some suggestions you got out there, buddy? Some things to kind of lighten the meal and still be satisfied with it.
First step, start a garden.
I love it.
Yeah, grow your own food.
Yeah.
All the thing. Just last night, I had some broccoli, so I made a lovely broccoli potato cheese soup. Quick and easy. Simmering up some onions, some small diced Yukon potatoes. Sear that off in a little butter. Add some water to it. Bring that up. A pinch of roux. Just for the creaminess of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then some milk on top of that, and then a little sprinkle of cheddar cheese, and then throw in some broccoli. It was done within like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and who doesn't like a good broccoli cheese soup? Except for former President George Herbert Walker Bush, who was on record not liking broccoli.
I don't like the broccoli. Hey, you're president. You can do it. If you don't like broccoli, that's fine.
Yeah, and you know what? He ate asparagus, so it's okay.
Exactly. Make it an asparagus cheddar soup.
Yeah, that sounds.
Now you got me all thinking about cheese. That's
Well, did you hear me talking about the Pepe Acacha that cheese
Carter's
getting ready to do? Yeah, there's nothing like setting a
week. Think of that. It gave me a great idea. I want to get some bread and make a sandwich. I've got a name for it. It's called a debris sandwich.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that? Awesome.
The one in New Orleans?
No, it'll be mine.
Oh, it'd be Garrick's debris sandwich.
Yeah.
It's just bread and cheese? What?
Brie cheese.
Brie cheese. I like it.
Debris. That'll be just like his broiled cheese sandwich with some nice little like jalapeno raspberry jam or something like that. But it'll be a debris sandwich. Cheese Cottage, if you're listening, I've got more of these. Come talk to me.
oh, buddy. So, another thing that I think people can do, you know, there's this obsession in this country with ranch dressing, which I think is one of the most embarrassing things America's ever done, is create ranch dressing. But this man makes the best ranch dressing in the world. I love the stuff. There's no mayonnaise in it.
Oh.
There's no buttermilk in it.
Okay.
Tell her about your hippie ranch.
My hippie ranch, this is truly one of my happier things. and with my restaurant, I'm not, as much as I love, you know, tickling both you guys and everybody about it, about the vegan side, I'm not all vegan.
Right.
I just want to push the creativity.
Right.
You know, people go like, here's my thought. If you can call peanut butter butter, that's vegan, right? But it's still delicious.
Right.
I'm going to put that on some toast. I'm going to make a sandwich out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But my hippie ranch, it's a vegan almond-based aioli. So people ask me, how do I make it? Well, it's easy. You make aioli, and you have some almonds added into it as well.
But you've got,
and then it's whatever seasoning you want. And
right.
And ranch, the most of ranch flavors is usually like a dehydrated onion flavor is prominent, a pepper flavor is prominent.
Plenty of salt and pepper.
Herbal flavors is prominent. But you can't, people go like, which is, I mean, Hidden Valley, of course, is the classic one.
It's the original.
Have all these,
And that's the funny thing about ranch. It's like, we scratch make our ranch. Well, then you're not making real ranch if you scratch make it. Real ranch involves a packet and a bunch of instant stuff.
Yeah.
That's a real ranch. You made one time when we were over there testing some wing flavors that was like sour cream and dill, and it was terrific. And there was no buttermilk or mayonnaise in that either. It was years ago.
Yeah.
But the hippie ranch is great as a dressing, as a spread on a sandwich, or just sit there with some toasted pita chips. It is so good. And you put, is it hemp seed in it?
I've used a couple of different ones, and there's a full line of hippie dips and hippie ranches and hippie dressings and all sorts of other kind of fun stuff, depending on the application.
Right.
Some are made with hemp hearts or a higher protein one, and I love that one for my hippie dip, which has basically the hippie ranch, a lot of the same sort of flavors, the herbal flavors, the peppers, the onions, stuff like that, with a lot of vegetables in it to it. So I'll use like semi-dehydrated. I'll throw some carrots in the dehydrator overnight to semi-dehydrate them.
That should give you some sweetness, shouldn't it?
Pardon?
Well, that would give you some sweetness, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I've done some with olive oil. I do one with like, because I can change out the acid component in it. Sometimes for the classic, it's an apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. Because like Duke mayonnaise, it's delicious.
Right.
But sometimes I'll use just like a lemon juice and an olive oil, make a lemon olive oil one and an herb lemon olive oil one with more garlic, and that one's fantastic. And that one I can actually even use that as a vegan Alfredo too. I've done that. I've tossed it into a pasta, into warm pasta, and it's this almost like the limoncello. Limone pasta, that's it. Limone pasta. And so it has a really nice lemon flavor, great creaminess to it, and a beautiful dish in and of itself.
Well, thanks for being on, buddy, and we'll be checking out those videos online. We're going to end this talk of vegan food with a song about Spam.
Talk to you later.
All right, Gary, thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too. All righty. Well, we had a great song we were going to premiere, and YouTube just decided to not do it. And I have stumbled on something of late. Alton Brown, one of our favorite science chefs from Food Network.
Figured it out.
Oh, you did? Okay. He recorded an album with the Alton Brown Trio. And we're going to start playing some of the songs because, as you imagine, they are food-centric.
Of course.
Yeah, can we get that one going?
Do you want to hear it now?
Yeah, let's go with it.
Okay.
Drove to the airport one fateful day to find my vacation flight was delayed. So I took a stroll down to the first class lounge to see if there was a snack to be found. Well, that's where I found you, perched on a glass, curvy, luscious, and oozing class. I kept to myself until my libation put me in the mood for some mastication. Airport shrimp cocktail, I guess I should have known that in just a few hours you were sure to make me groan. And all those memories of our sweet brine of pleasure would be swept away by waves of gastric pressure.
As you can see, a very talented singer is Alton Brown.
Definitely. He's quite an entertainer.
Yeah. I think he went to film school before going to culinary school. And the whole reason that he went to culinary school was because he was watching cooking shows on TV and he thought, these could be entertaining. You know, they don't have to be this. And he went to culinary school so that he could be someone who made TV shows that knew what he was talking about. I actually had a friend that was in culinary school with Alton. It was the New England Culinary Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Is where he went. And my friend Kevin said, annoying guy. Really? He goes, he never stopped asking questions.
Well, that's how you learn.
Yeah.
He does seem to know a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But he said, yeah, he was a very nice guy. He said, but he did ask a lot of questions. And I remember that from my college days. Ask all the questions you want, but 10 minutes before the end of class on a Friday, shut up.
Yes.
I can remember an algebra class at Mississippi Gulf Coast where the instructor spent the entire hour working out one problem. It was racing the end of class to show us how to solve it. And when she got to the end and goes, all right, there you go. And I got it in just the nick of the time. One of the girls in the front row goes, that's wrong.
Oh.
So she had spent an hour on an equation and got the wrong answer.
Oops.
She had done it wrong. I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to learn how to do algebra in this class. So that was one of five attempts at passing college algebra.
Oh.
I'm good at everything, but.
Yeah, me.
Here was my thing. When I was in high school, the maximum that you had to take of mathematics in high school was ninth grade math.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to have algebra, trigonometry, any of those. Those were for the smart kids. So at ninth grade, they cut us off. The year after me, they required algebra after that. So I have attempted college algebra five times now without having anything beyond ninth grade math.
Yeah.
So that's why. And it was so funny the first time I took it, we go, well, we're just going to assume that everybody in here already understands the quadratic formula and how it works. So let's just go on and use it in everyday applications. And I'm like, the what? The aquatic what? What has water got to do with this? So my thinking is that Heather, who is very good at this and has taken calculus and a number of advanced mathematics, one day she's going to sit down and teach me algebra.
Oh.
And then I will finally pass that college algebra class, which is the only thing I'm lacking from an associate's degree in music.
Oh, really?
But
I don't think I'll ever pass it myself. Yeah. I just get lost.
Yeah. I enjoyed Matrix. The Matrices or whatever it was. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much already flunked the class out by then. And every time I flunked it, I stayed in that class until I was mathematically assured there was nothing I could do to pass it.
Yeah.
So I learned each time, and each time it took longer to flunk out.
Mm-hmm.
And then a good friend of mine, Holmes King, he's the I'll say the younger brother of former State Attorney General Troy King, but much bigger than Troy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a member of Mensa, a genius. The last time I took college algebra was in a summer class where you go 5 days a week for 2 hours. He walked in on day 11, which was you could miss 10 days in a semester or they would fail you. He walked into class for the first time on day 11. It was the first of four important quarterly tests, and he aced it, and he had never opened the book.
Wow.
And I didn't. But, you know, it's one of those things. And what's funny is prior to not taking math anymore, it was always my strongest suit. Always handled math easily. But it's a classic example of if you don't use it, you will lose it.
Yes.
Because by the time I got 4 or 5 years later trying to take a college math class again, I had lost it. And my mathematics is not nearly as strong as it used to be, except on the practical things.
Right.
You know, the things that I have to do, like, hey, we got 12 people coming over for dinner. How big a roast do I need? Give me just a second. There's going to be 12 people. You need about 4 ounces per person. You know, that I do all the time. But I always have heard people say, especially in algebra classes, I'm never going to use this in my regular life. And algebra is not one of those that you're never going to use in your regular life. You use it every single day. And people go, I never sit down and do a formula. What are you talking about? Algebra teaches you problem solving.
Right.
The logical steps to solve a problem. So every time you've solved a problem, you've used algebra. As simple as that. So one of these days, I got to pass that stupid class. You know, and it's
one of these days.
Yeah, and it's funny too because you go back and my GPA is 3 or above at the schools that I've been to, except for that one stupid class. But it is a new year, folks, and we need to embrace it. It is a beautiful morning, a little crisp outside, but it should be. It's January. And like everyone said, it's not like we're going to wake up January 1st and coronavirus is going to be gone. You know, we're still battling through this, but we, like Mike, we have all turned a corner, the whole planet, with this thing, I believe. And it's just a matter of months now before we can start walking around and being normal. But until then, keep being creative in the ways that you eat and entertain each other, because the restaurant industry, when this is over, is going to have to change. You're no longer, it is not viable to think that people should work 40 to 60 hours a week for $12 an hour. It's just ridiculous. And the only way to get the wages up in restaurants to where they should be, because I'm telling you right now, a line cook is every bit the skilled labor that a teacher or an EMT is. It's skilled labor. It's mm-hmm. hard to do. You have to be knowledgeable. And it should pay more than $20 an hour to be a line cook.
Yeah.
It should. What the physical tolls on it. So we got to take care of our restaurant industry people. We got to take care of each other. So get out there, eat local, buy local, smell local if you want to. And above all, provolone.
Provolone.
Cowpokes will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ain't 2 before 5 cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty mind. Eat steak, eat steak, eat a big old...